Hallelujah. I told Brother Joss, I said, that's going to be tough to follow. But God is so good. God is real. And we appreciate the opportunity of being here in the house of God. And I'll take out my watch and just tell you to fasten your seat belts, because I'll try to be done before you are. That's going to be tough. But with the help of the Lord, He will give us direction here today. And I'll try to acquaint you with faith promise, what it will do, the benefits of it, how God anoints it, how God blesses. And He has not changed. He has not changed. Praise God. It's good to be in this service, good to be with our foreign mission director, Brother Howell, our missionary from Mexico, one of our missionaries from Mexico. One of the dross from Mexico, I should put it that way. There's only about four of them down there. So this is Brother Steve Dross. And it's good to be in the house of God today. Appreciate the fact that my wife can be with me here. And I see she's sitting beside Mother Black. And appreciate her and have known her for quite a few years. All right, if you would you turn quickly to the book of Mark chapter 12. And I want to read four verses of Scripture. Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 41. Mark 12, 41. It reads like this. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. And the thought I want you to consider for a few minutes this afternoon is this statement. Does God care about my giving? Does God care about my giving? You may be seated. This particular setting is also found in Luke chapter 21, the first four verses. But it emphasizes this fact, that Jesus was in the temple observing the giving that was being received. The Scripture lets us know that He observed a number of wealthy persons as they went by giving out of plenty. Then the Scripture zeroes in on a certain poor widow as she came by and cast in two mites, which is equal to one farthing. Now, widows are spoken of a number of times in the Scripture. And really, I think the reason that the Lord kind of draws our attention to the widows on many occasions is because that their main source of income is gone. Their husbands are dead. And as the Scripture zeroes in on the widow women, it really gives us quite a lesson. And in this particular setting, the Bible lets us know that a mite was the smallest of copper coins, normally equal to 1/8 of a penny. Now, a farthing was a Roman coin worth twice as much, or worth 1/4 of a penny. But in this setting, the message declared by our Lord on this occasion is that a gift is to be evaluated not by its size, but by a comparison of the gift with the total amount possessed by the giver. Now, a large donation out of abundance may be less significant than a small donation out of poverty. Now, this woman gave the smallest possible gift of all the givers. But it was all that she had to give. But Jesus was seated off to the side, watching the giving that was being given. The scripture lets us know that as he was watching the giving, he turned to his disciples as the widow lady passed by. He said, she has given more than all the others put together. And I can just kind of see the disciples turning to Jesus and say, but Jesus, did you see what I saw? Because this lady, as she came by, she only gave two mites. But I can see Jesus as he turned back to the disciples saying, yes, I saw what she gave, but I also saw what she had left over, which was nothing. But the others that passed by, those that had a lot of money, as they passed by, I also saw what they had left. Because Jesus sees what we give, and he also sees what we have left over. I recall an incident that happened a number of years ago in a church in Mississippi. I was there with a missionary from the Philippines, and in that particular service, the missionary related how that they had a need there in the Philippines for a church building. And of course, he just casually mentioned that and then continued on with his message. After the service was over, the pastor stepped up and mentioned about the need that was there in the Philippines. And he made this statement. He said, I want us to take up an offering, and I want us to help with that need there in the Philippines. Well, there happened to be a couple in that service that was really struggling financially. But when the pastor made the appeal for the offering, that couple realized they only had $5. That's all they had. And so as a result, when others started coming around, giving in the offering, there was a table down in front of the pulpit. People started giving. That couple was seated over to the left. And God spoke to that couple about giving their last $5. They kind of argued with God, but God, this is all that we have. And as they argued, they felt so impressed that they must give it. They came around, placed their last $5 on the table, went back to their seat and sat down. They were concerned about the fact that that's all they had. But yet, just a couple days after that Wednesday night service, they had some friends of theirs that drove 100 miles to visit them. They came there and visited. They had quite a day there visiting back and forth. But finally, as that visiting couple was leaving, they were given $1,000 by that visiting couple. Now, they had given $5, but God saw their many needs. And I really believe today that just like Jesus was in the temple watching the giving that was being received along with some of his disciples, he watched what they gave. And yet he realized that it was a big sacrifice that they gave. And so he moved on some friends to drive 100 miles to visit this family. And when they left, they gave them $1,000. I still believe God Almighty watches our giving in this day and age in which we live. Just a couple weeks ago, wife and I were in Louisville, Kentucky. And in fact, it was just last weekend, wasn't it? Last weekend. We were there for a service like today, Faith Promise Giving. After the service on Sunday night, one of the men came up to me and he said, Brother Lehman, he said, I want to tell you what happened to us 2 years ago in our faith promise service. He said, I was laid off at the time, but he said, in that service, I felt God really impress me that I was to make a $40 commitment. He said, I was laid off. I did not know when I would be called back to work. But he said, I made the commitment, and then the next day, he said, I was back here at the church. He said, I walked through the back door. I came into the auditorium. He said, I came up, and I don't even recall what he did, why he was there. But he said, after I was finished, I walked back the aisle, and he said, I saw some money laying on the floor there. Now, he said, I had just come in through the door there. But he said, there was money laying on the floor. There were bills. There was change. He said, I stopped. I picked up the money, and I started counting it. He said, I counted, and the total amount that was there on the floor was exactly $40. Now, he said, Brother Lehman, I had just walked in, and the pastor had been in and out of that same door. That money was not there when they came in and when I came in. But he said, when I walked back, there was exactly $40. He said, not only that, but I was called back to work within the month following that service. I still believe God watches our giving. There is no question about it. Not only that, but the Bible says that Jesus watched how they were giving. And I can see the wealthy as they came by giving out of plenty. In fact, in the American Standard Version, it refers to that scripture as to how they were giving. The American Standard Version says they gave of their superfluity, meaning they were loaded. You know, we might come from different parts of the country, but I think we all understand what that means. They had a lot. They were loaded when they gave. And yet the wealthy came by. And yet when that widow lady came by, I can see her kind of slipping her hand down in the pan, because when she looked at what they gave and then what she was about to give, she had nothing compared to what they were giving. But yet God Almighty still watches our giving. I recall Brother Sism relating an incident that happened several years ago. He was going to India. He had been a missionary there for a number of years. Was going back for a conference. And he had collected some used watches to take to the pastors as he went back. And so when he arrived at that conference, he had these used watches, giving them out to the pastors that were there. And so he gave them out, and of course those pastors, that was their first watch. Even though they were used watches from the States, they were they were thrilled to get those watches. And so later on in the same conference, there was a spirit of giving that settled down over that congregation. And those preachers, many of those preachers that had just been given watches at the beginning of the conference, they stood up. They took that watch off, they came up, and they placed it in the offering. Now, they had just received it, but yet they were willing to give it. Later in another meeting in the same conference, Brother Sism related that he was there, and that congregation started singing. Now, since he had lived there many years, he recognized what was taking place. He said that the Spirit of God moved down over that conference, and that congregation started singing in tongues in unison. Now, I've heard people sing in tongues, but I've never been in a conference or a meeting where that entire congregation was singing in unison in tongues. But I believe there was a reason it happened. I believe God had seen earlier in the same conference sacrifices being made where those preachers that had just been given watches, yet there was such a desire and a burden to reach out to other individuals that those pastors and preachers were willing to come and give that which had just been given to them. You know, the Bible lets us know that God loves a cheerful giver. Now, not a fearful giver, a cheerful giver. And, you know, here at home, you know, I believe if God could ever get through to us where we could understand the joy of giving and realize that God does love a cheerful giver. You know, so many times here at home, we give out of habit. If we've always been given a dollar in the offering, well, bless God, we'll give a dollar. Well, if maybe God moves on us to give a five or a ten or a 20. You know, now, we do have some folks in our churches that they are really oneness all the way. They believe in one God, and they also believe in $1 in the offering. But, you know, if we could ever just get in the joy of giving and let God bless us. You know, there's so many things are taking place. Just about a month ago, Sister Lehman and I were back to the church that I pastored, which was Lancaster, Ohio. And there, after the Sunday morning service, one of the ladies came up to me and she said, "Brother Lehman, I want to tell you what happened to our family a few years ago." She said, "We were very young. We were in our late 20s and we had three children." And she said, "We were in the middle of winter. And there was a missionary service in our church. And before the offering was being taken, she said, the pastor asked all of us to get down on our knees and ask the Lord what he wanted us to give. Well," she said, "my husband and I, we knelt down." She said, "We were in southern Illinois. I don't know what city. I didn't ask her what city. The reason I refer to Brother Hal, he's from southern Illinois. But this lady said, the pastor asked us to get down and pray. And she said, while I was praying, the Lord spoke to me that we were to give $500. Now," she said, "my husband was a contractor. He was out of work. She said, really, we didn't even know where the money was going to come from for our rent that month. But," she said, we got up from prayer and she said, "my husband looked at me and he said, well, now what do you feel?" She said, "I told him five." He said, "$5? She said, "No, five." He said, "$50? I said, "No, $500. She said, "My husband was speechless." But she said, "I wrote out a check for $500. And she said, "At the close of the service, one of the men came to my husband and said, you're wanted on the telephone back in the office." She said, "No one had ever called us at church." So she said, he walked back and it was a contractor who wanted him to do a job for him. He came back in and she said, "I was talking with my husband and they came back for a second telephone call." So she said, he walked back. It was a second contractor wanting him for a job. She said, he came back in and we were just so excited because no one had ever called my husband at church to do a job. So she said, early the next morning, he walked out in the garage to leave and the telephone rang again. And she said, I called him and said, it's another contractor. So he went to the phone and she said, he ended up getting all three jobs. She said, it was a miracle. Now, you say, well, Brother Lehman, why do you even mention that? Because I still believe God watches our giving. He watched them the night before as they had written out a check and really didn't even have the money. But God honored their step of giving. Now, that happened on, she gave me that testimony Sunday morning after service. Sunday night, the commitments were taken in the service and, you know, people came up around the altar to pray when it was finished. Her son came up to pray. Now, the reason I mentioned this about her son was in a motorcycle accident a year and a half earlier, and he continued to get worse. In fact, her son walked out of service that Sunday morning not able to stand up straight. Whenever he went to a restaurant to eat, they had to put his food on the seat beside him that's the only way he could eat. But that Sunday night, that young man, 24 years old, came up to the altar. He was praying, and finally he just got down on the floor because he couldn't stand up straight. And as he was praying, we gathered around, started praying for him, and I stepped back, and all at once I looked, and I saw that young man's feet start straightening out. I turned to a man in the church that was behind me. I said, "Do you see what I see?" He said, "Yeah, I've been standing here watching." And his feet straightened out. Before it was over, he stood up straight. God had done a miraculous work for that young man right before our very eyes. The next morning, he called his pastor at 6:15 a.m. He said, "Pastor, I walked out in the kitchen this morning. I was able to reach the top cabinet without any pain at all." The following Sunday, one week later, they started their Sunday school. They sang the first song. That young man started running around the church. The pastor told me I got the service back an hour and 45 minutes later. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think, according to the power, according to the faith operating in our lives. God is in business today. Hallelujah. You know, the Old Testament, let me just, it's getting close to two, and I'm about to wind up. Don't leave me up. First Kings chapter 17 talks about a widow lady, also talks about Elijah. Elijah was in the midst of a famine living there, and he had run out of food, and God told him, "Go to the city of Zarephath. I have spoken to a widow lady, and she will sustain you." Well, Elijah went to the city of Zarephath. When he got to the gates of the city there, he saw this widow lady picking up sticks, assuming this was the lady the Lord had told him would be able to sustain his needs there. And so they talked there briefly, and he simply spoke and told her. He said, "Would you give me something to drink?" And as she was leaving to get him something to drink, the scripture said he called out and said, "Oh, by the way, would you just bring me a morsel of bread when you come back?" She stopped, looked at that prophet, and said, "Sir, I've got just a little bit of meal in the barrel, a little oil in the cruse, enough for one meal, and that's all. And then we're going to die." He looked at her so brazen. He said, "Will you just bring me a morsel of bread first, and then fix a meal for you and your son. God will take care of you the rest of the famine." She did not argue with the man of God. She obeyed. She brought his bread. She brought his meal back. And the scripture lets us know that every time that widow lady, I mean, God, you see what had happened. God brought two needs together and was about to take care of both of them. And so as that widow lady fixed his meal, the prophet told her when she brought it to him, everything's going to be all right. And every time she went for another meal, the scripture lets us know there was enough meal in the barrel and oil in the cruse to take care of them. And do you realize that she went for 1 year, every day, God meeting the need? Why did it happen? God saw her willingness to meet the need of the hour. And God took care of that widow and her son for 1 year. God never fails. Never lets us down. Never, never will He let us down. Hallelujah. Earlier this year, January, I was in Carrollton, Kentucky. And there was a man there that related a testimony. He said that just before that just before the weekend, they had been having furnace problems, and he had called the serviceman out to take care of the furnace. And then before the weekend, he had more problems. And when he called the serviceman and found out that the bill was going to be something like $450, he said, "Now, God, you're going to have to take care of this bill. I don't have it. I don't have the money." But yet, all the time, he was hearing about the needs of the world and how God could provide and supply. And so God directed him to make a commitment of $100 a month. Now, he still had this bill that was needed to be paid. But yet he obeyed, filled out his card, turned it in. Let me just stop here a minute. Maybe some of you are here today and wondering, well, what in the world are you talking about when you say faith promise? Well, faith promise is where each of us as individuals, we talk to the Lord about what He would like to channel through us on a monthly basis to help send our missionaries around the world. And here's one of them right here. It's asking the Lord to be your financial advisor. And when you ask the Lord to be your financial advisor, He might direct you to do some things that you've just never done before. But if we will trust the Lord, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." So that's really what that man was trying to do, endeavoring to do, knowing he had a $450 bill, and yet feeling God impress him for a $100 a month commitment. Well, he finally filled out his card, turned it in. A couple days after that weekend, the serviceman was back with the bill, explaining it to him. But at the bottom of the bill, the serviceman wrote, "No charge." $450 was clear. That was 4 1/2 months of his commitment. Why? Because he watches our giving. Still watches today, sir. Still watches. Never fear. Because our God is near. He'll take care of every situation you are faced with. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, people in the early church, someplace along the line, they missed out in what they were supposed to be doing. But the early church was bringing their funds in to help meet various needs. They felt like that they wanted to be involved, but not 100%. And so they brought their funds in to Peter, told Peter, "This is all of it, Peter. We sold our property and our possessions. This is it. This is all of it." But Peter was anointed of the Lord. The gifts of the Spirit were operational. And Peter looked at Ananias and he said, "Ananias, you have not lied to men. You have lied to God and dropped dead over money." 3 hours later, his wife came in, related the same story. The same story was related to Peter. Peter simply looked at her and he said, "Sapphira, the feet that carried your husband out 3 hours ago are waiting for you. And they carried her out." God watches our giving. Now, there's something that happened last year, and I was asking the pastor about it just before I was called up here to preach. There was a young lady, 17 years old, right there in that area. After the Sunday night service, she came up to me literally jumping up and down. She said, "Brother Lehman, I don't even have a job, but I felt impressed to make a $200 a month commitment." The reason she was so excited, she said, "I've had two people come up to me since I made that commitment and offer me a job." Sunday night last year at the close of the service. I'd sure like to talk to her. I didn't get her name, but she was 17 years old then, so she must be 18 years old now. But God is doing it. But I trust this afternoon that each of us will realize that God still watches our giving. Still does. Still watches our giving. Will you give Him a chance? Will you give Him a chance today? And let Him do what He wants to do in your life and in my life. God is a great God, a wonderful Savior, willing to do whatever we will ask Him to do through us. And I just close with this. I was in Okemah, Oklahoma. And after the Sunday morning service, there was a business lady come up to me. And she said, "Brother Lena, I just want to relate what happened to our family." She said, "We are in business, and we've always had to borrow $30,000 to get us through the winter. But," she said, "last year, my husband and I made our commitment, and for the first time, we went through the winter without having to borrow any money at all. It wasn't an accident that it happened. But it was because they had stepped out as the Lord directed them in their commitment. And God blessed them financially because they were faithful to Him." The Lord God Almighty still watches our giving in this day and hour in which we live.